Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
350 WGN. By now you may have heard the news that Mike Madigan, the powerful Speaker of the Illinois House, has suspended his campaign to maintain that role. Kind of a cryptic message from Mike Madigan's office saying that he is suspending but not withdrawing. However, it doesn't look likely that he can get the votes he needs to maintain his position as Speaker. So who could be, who would be the next Speaker of the House? One candidate, one person who's certainly a front runner right now is Representative Ann Williams, and she joins the show right now. Representative Williams, thanks for your time.
Thanks so much for having me, Anna.
An eventful weekend, closed door session in Springfield. No one knew quite what would happen, but can you give us any details, since there were no reporters in there, about what you can tell us about what happened?
Sure. Well, what I can share is that there's definitely an interest in moving forward with new leadership in the Illinois House. I think we made that pretty clear yesterday. And the announcement today, while it came as a surprise, I think is welcome news for many of us.
Yeah, you hear a lot about Mike Madigan, and certainly he has his foes, and he's been in power, and he has a lot of it. And to have one person have that much power, I think, is one of the biggest knocks against him. The ComEd indictment, where he has not been charged with any crime, but he's been listed as public official A, seemed to be another major moment in Springfield when some of your colleagues and Democrats themselves stood up and said, you know what, maybe we need a change of leadership. And so here we are. What happens next? Because a lot of people are reading something a lot into the message, the statement issued by Mike Madigan today, where he's suspending his campaign, but he's not withdrawing. What do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure what happens next. From my perspective, I had a good showing yesterday, and I'm continuing to talk to colleagues about their vision for the future of the House and do my best to keep gaining support within the caucus.
Mm-hmm. And what would you do differently? How, tell people who are not familiar with your work. You've been there, what, it's your fifth House term. You're a Northside Democrat. And you do suggest that you being Speaker would be a major shift for all of us here in Illinois.
Yeah, I really do have a very different leadership style, to say the least, than Mike Madigan. Currently, the House is very, top-heavy. Power is very centralized. What I envision is a more collaborative Illinois House, one that really focuses on the voices of all our caucus members. We have such a great diversity in the House. I think it's time to amplify those voices, especially as we face the very daunting challenges of COVID, the economic fallout, and, of course, the systemic inequities that we're really seeing highlighted by the pandemic.
Yeah, I saw your statement. Working moms can't afford child care. The pandemic has highlighted racial inequities in our health care and justice system. Small business community devastated. No small tasks ahead of you. And yet the speaker job has to be sorted out before any of the business at hand, not even to talk about coronavirus relief and all the other sorts of things that are at hand. None of this can be done. None of it can be sorted out until a speaker is picked. Is that right?
That is true. And, as a member of the House, that concerns me. We need to get to work to address, as you said, these many challenges. But I think at the end of the day, what I'm hopeful about is that we'll see, hopefully a team of people working along with the speaker to address the challenges that we face. It's really going to take a lot of collaboration, a very participatory leadership team, I think, to move us forward in the coming days and months.
Mm-hmm. Now, you received, what, again, it's right, 18 votes. You need 60. So you still have a ways to go. You were the second in terms of vote count, with the speaker getting 51, and it seemed the opposition to him was locked in. Any sort of strategies you can reveal to us about how you're going to gain the necessary votes in order to become speaker?
Well, I think I got about 18 more votes than anyone got.
True.
Right, sometime. Maybe ever. So I was pretty happy with the showing and to have the faith of that many of my colleagues. But I think the speaker stepping aside for now does open that up quite a bit, and those are the conversations I'm having today.
Yeah, and conversations meaning the Black Caucus and the Latin Caucus, which have Latinx Caucus, which are allied mostly with Speaker Madigan here. There are a lot of conversations I'm sure you're having with them as well. The path moving forward, it could look very different for the state of Illinois. And I'm sure you're hopeful that that will work out for you. Anything else you'd like to tell us about yourself or what it is you'd hope to do for everybody listening in the state of Illinois?
You know, I think it's pretty exciting to contemplate a woman at the helm of the Illinois House. We've had, you know, so many great firsts. We have Kamala Harris in the vice president seat. We've seen women with historic gains at all levels of government. I think it's time for a woman speaker of the Illinois House.
All right. Are you in Springfield right now?
I am.
Mm-hmm. Because there's Wednesday will be the actual another vote. Do you imagine we'll know something pretty soon about how this all shakes out?
Gosh, I hope so. It's a lot of these conversations and dialogue has to happen before that time, but you know we're doing our best to make that happen.
All right. Well, we'll hopefully you'll keep us posted, and we'll let you get back to the business at hand. There, a lot being done in Springfield. Thank you, Representative Williams. Appreciate the time. And Rick Pearson is joining us now, just in time, because I need you, Rick. I really need you here. If you can try to explain this to me, I do not speak Springfield like you speak Springfield, but I'm trying to understand what the heck is going on here. So initially, I saw this terse message cross from House Speaker Mike Madigan's office that says he's suspending his bid for another term as Speaker, but he is not bowing out. What does that mean?
Speaker speak.
Right. What is it?
Well, I think what it is, there's a variety of things here. One is it's obvious that after the roll call that was conducted last night, where he was 9 short of the 60, he still has 51 votes. You need 60 to be reelected speaker. But you have the 19 that have dug in their heels and said they would not vote for him under any circumstance. Their heels are dug in. I think he's basically playing a bet game here, is that, okay, I'm going to step out of this. You all see if you can find somebody that you all agree on and get 60 votes for. And in the meantime, I'll just be over here waiting when that doesn't happen. I think that's his bet. And so he's, you know, this is not the end of Mike Madigan. This is just another move in those three-dimensional chess games that he plays.
And, I figured as such.
And one of the other things, too, is you already have the fact that the Speaker has been endorsed by 21 of the 22 members of the House Black Caucus. He's been endorsed by about 10 of the 14 members of the Latinx Caucus. Now, with him stepping to the side briefly, that allows candidates to come out of those two caucuses. So when you look at this highly diverse 73-member caucus, and we're talking about math here, remember that. You got to have 60 votes to be Speaker. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the diversity of this caucus, you have a large number of women in the women's caucus. As I said, you've got the African-American caucus. You've got the Latinx caucus. You've got a couple of downstaters floating their name. So this could kind of churn for a while. And I had always kind of thought that even though the House is supposed to be sworn in for the new General Assembly on Wednesday, that they were not going to come to a conclusion on Speaker anytime soon. And one of the key things is the House cannot conduct any business until it has a Speaker. So this could go days, it could go weeks, it could go who knows, but I think all along Madigan was kind of viewing attrition to be a factor here in gaining another term.
Yeah, I've heard all sorts of scenarios. So the person who got the next votes, and it wasn't many, it was the handful, was Representative Ann Williams, so doesn't have nearly the support she'd need. I've heard that would he pick an ally to run instead? Would he, as you suggest, just wait on the sidelines until nobody can agree on anybody else and somehow become it? There's so many scenarios here, and it's such an important position, right? The Speaker of the House. He's held it for, what, nearly 4 decades. It's an important time in our history. It's an important situation. You think about what with the future moving forward from Springfield and who holds that position and how important that will be for all of us. I just wonder how you see this playing out, Rick Pearson. What do you see?
I don't know. I think it's a waiting game. I think it's going to be a waiting game. I don't see Mike Madigan, after being speaker for since 1983 and the nation's longest-serving state house speaker, except for 2 years when Republicans got the chamber in the mid-1990s. I don't see Mike Madigan saying, oh, we'll pick this guy and I'll just be a backbencher or I'll try and be a puppet master. With Madigan, it's always about the power, and if he's not in the seat of power, I don't see him sticking around. And so I think we're in a waiting game, in a number of respects, waiting to see if there's somebody that can actually get 60 votes, waiting to see if some of those 19 who said they could never vote for Mike Madigan fold after a period of time. A waiting game of Mike Madigan coming to the conclusion that he's never going to get 60 votes, and at the age of 78, it might be time to find something else to do and leave Springfield.
How does this play out, though, Rick? Does he have to decide to withdraw his name at some point? Does a challenger have to go and get the votes that he already has in order to become speaker? I can only imagine the wheeling and dealing going on right now.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, here, when you think of, for example, now this opening the door for a candidate out of the Black Caucus, you know, you have this tremendous and controversial reform package that's being considered about, you know, police collective bargaining and those kinds of things, and then standards of conduct for police officers in response to the policing incidents that we've seen. That's a huge, huge package that the Black Caucus is looking for. And now, how does that play into the speakership? If Mike Madigan doesn't get that passed, does that mean the Black Caucus deserts him? If there's members of the Black Caucus who are certainly interested in becoming speaker, how does that affect the dynamics? I mean, when we get to, so far right now, all the voting's been behind closed doors. There's just a lot of people still in the numbers. But when we get to Wednesday and everybody's sworn in for the new General Assembly, then the vote's public. And as I said, the House can't organize itself until it has a speaker. It can't conduct any business. It can't consider a bill. It can't do anything except show up until they vote for a new speaker. And that's where, you know, we saw in 1975, I think it went 93 ballots before a speaker was picked over multiple days.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the sort of the whole ComEd federal indictment and what might happen there next. And that's certainly scooping up a lot of folks in Springfield and those connected to it. It might eliminate some folks from possibilities of challenging potentially.
Well, I mean, you know, certainly I think people were thinking that there might have been a further along resolution of the ComEd investigation as it related to Mike Madigan to help influence their thinking. And the feds are known for not moving quickly. So,
right.
You know, Madigan has said committed no wrongdoing. He wasn't aware that ComEd was scheming with his top allies to get him jobs and contracts in exchange for influencing him on legislation. Madigan says, I didn't know anything about that. Madigan's a very sharp lawyer. He wouldn't be around this long if he wasn't. But certainly, you know, he's tarred by this ComEd scandal. And, I mean, one thing to think of, too, is when you're in Springfield, you're in a bubble down here. And it's not like just being out on the street and people, you know, and obviously COVID has changed things too, but the bubble of Springfield is an interesting environment, and that's where the wheeling and dealing goes. Madigan could promise, well, you know, give me one more term. I mean, apparently he's kind of made some kind of comments indirectly to that effect. But you've got, they're all living in this political bubble. They're not living on the outside. They're frankly not even living on ComEd or anything else right now. And so, like I said, the longer they could be in this bubble for quite some time. And it might be the fact that we don't get any progress in legislation and dealing with COVID, with business, entrepreneurship and restoring the economy. If we don't get moving on some of that stuff because we're still peddling over who's speaker, you know, that might be enough to force the question.
Yeah, I would think so. The kinds of things that they are having to deal with now and the urgency of those matters, big priorities, right? Big priorities that I think there'd be a lot of mounting pressure to get that done. We'll see. Hey, Rick, can you stick around for a second? Because I do want to ask you about what's going on in D.C. right now in Washington.
Sure.
With the House and the article of impeachment that is moving through the process and what we might expect from that. Rick Pearson in just a moment, 218 here on WGN. Chicago Tribune's Rick Pearson, WGN Radio's Rick Pearson joining us. We talked about Springfield, Rick, and all of the events there, and I got to ask you about what's happening in D.C. The article of impeachment has been drafted, and I understand is working its way through the process right now.
Yeah, it is, and it appears that the Democratic majority, that Speaker Pelosi's majority, there are a majority of signers to proceed forward with this, and it looks evidently clear that her game is to try to, they're going to look at doing a resolution basically first that says a resolution directing Vice President Pence to utilize the 25th Amendment and have Trump removed from office. And then if that doesn't go, which is expected, then the House will move forward with impeachment. And then we have a president being impeached for the first time in history for the second time. And there's some debate over what to do after the House votes about transmitting the documents to the Senate. Is it something already the Senate is not going to be in session until I believe it's the day before the inauguration of Joe Biden. And there's some concern about, do you want to tarnish Joe Biden coming in by starting this kind of battle with a Senate trial on an outgoing president? There are others who are saying transmit the paperwork right away, and then we'll figure out how to deal with it later. But, I mean, Speaker Pelosi last night was on 60 Minutes. It was very clear that
right.
She wants to extract some penalty from Trump over last week's horror show at the Capitol.
And does that penalty include, Rick, that he would definitely not be able to hold office again or run for president again? Is that sort of the penalty that they're really seeking?
My understanding is that is the penalty that's included in these documents. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So and frankly, there's some hope there that there are some Republicans who are looking ahead to running for president in 2024 might see that as an avenue to join in support of it. I think that's kind of a bit far-fetched, but it's Washington, it's political calculation. You can never put anything past somebody.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you also are hearing from Republicans who are saying that this was a time to unite. And if we embrace Joe Biden as our new president with less than just so little time here, that this kind of a trial, this kind of an occurrence in Washington would only divide the country more. I'm not sure that Speaker Pelosi is listening to that.
No, and you know, this isn't Watergate. This isn't Richard Nixon leaving and Gerry Ford granting a pardon to heal the country and that aspect of it. This is about inciting insurrection. This is about many of those Republicans who say now should be a time of healing. We're avidly encouraging the president in some of this misbehavior for the past 4 years. So it's not an effort to try to bring back gentler times. We're past that. We're way past that. I mean, we can only hope in this surreal world we live in of COVID and political division and everything else, we can get to some stage of normalcy. But we're past the times of 1975.
Right. And timing isn't an issue, is my understanding. Explain it to us, because they could go past the period of the inauguration.
Yeah, it does not. They can still have impeach a president even though he is out of term, out of office. That there can still be that penalty assessed to him. And of course, that's part of the reason of adding the 2024 prohibition or ever running for federal office ever again, basically. That's part of the reason for adding that provision, because it would not have the normal effect of a conviction being removal from office.
Have we heard from the president? I know his Twitter account is no longer able to tweet as of Friday evening. So that's one of the ways we typically hear from him, but there are other methods for him to communicate. Has he had any sort of reaction to the events over the last couple of days that you've seen?
Not that I've seen. I mean, certainly, you know, the Sunday shows were filled with aides, including, you know, former chief of staff, Mark Meadows and others, talking about how they didn't think Trump was serious with his rhetoric and those kinds of things. I mean, you've got the White House today issued that he was going to award a presidential medal of honor to the head of one of the far right Freedom Caucus members. That is, so he's proceeding on with his, you know, kind of ceremonial tasks, but. You know, the real question, and we've known this for days, is that his lack of conversation with the vice president. The vice president, apparently, according to CNN, saying that he's holding that 25th Amendment transfer power as kind of holding it in his pocket in case the president becomes unwieldy in his thoughts. I mean, it's very, very concerning times that we're in, and it's been that way for a while.
Yeah, I get that sense, too, and not knowing what's going to happen next, the uncertainty of it all, too, is unsettling, to say the least. We'll wait and see what happens, Rick. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, Anna.
Hearing from you.